Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You have to walk around and believe that you're going to be great.
The greatest ever.
Is there greatness in you?
If your goal is to be great at something.
The greatest player in the game today.
I haven't got to greatness yet.
I'm Jim Burns. Now imagine what kind of world we would live in if parents hoped that one day we would do, just an okay job of raising our kids. Or suppose a child announced to his parents that his sole aim in life was to be as ordinary as possible. Well, it's not unreasonable to hope that we'll do a great job of raising great kids. In fact, I believe it's even a biblical desire. And during the next half hour, I'll be talking with my good friend, pastor, and author Chip Ingram about some practical ways we can go about doing so. Being a great parent, raising great kids is our theme today on Homeward, starting right now. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, we are going to hear from a conversation Dr. Jim Burns had with Chip Ingram not too long ago. Chip was with Jim in Atlanta, Georgia, and they were having a conversation about being a great parent and raising great kids. Isn't that why we are dialed into Homeward right now? We appreciate the fact that you support our ministry with prayers and financial contributions, and we have resources for you, like Jim's book, Confident Parenting. You can get this exclusively from Homeward. Go to homeward.com. If you want to become the kind of parent your kids really need, you need to be confident in your abilities and God's faithfulness, and that's what this book is all about. More information on ordering Confident Parenting at homeward.com. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. One of my favorite guests, Chip Ingram, with us today. We're talking about being a great parent and raising great kids. Oh, doesn't that sound great? But you know what? It can happen. And I'm convinced it can, and I can't think of a better person to have with us than Chip Ingram, author of many popular books, including Effective Parenting in a Defective World, How to Raise Kids Who Stand Out from the Crowd, present CEO of Walk Through the Bible Ministries, speaker on a daily radio program called Living on the Edge that thousands and thousands of people see as probably their favorite program on Christian radio, lives in the Atlanta area with his wife, Teresa. They have four adult kids and six grandkids. Welcome to our program, Chip.
Great to be with you again, Jim.
Always
thank you.
A privilege. You know, it's not a bad thing to want greatness. The key to following God's design for achieving it and then modeling it for our kids is really what we want after. And, you know, it's funny, Chip, we have a program here on Homeward where periodically we talk about greatness or we talk about leadership. And when that happens, the phone rings like crazy and the emails start coming. And yet I don't see that as probably a lot of parents saying, gosh, I hope my kids are great. A lot of parents are just simply saying, I hope we can get by. And they say it in their marriages, they say it in their life, they say it in their work. But you're saying in your brand new book called Good to Great in God's Eyes, 10 Practices Great Christians Have in Common, that we want to go for greatness.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's intrinsic in the human heart. I mean, if you just play a game and you say, would you like to be a good mom or a great mom? Would you like to be a good dad or a great dad? Sure. Would you like people around you to say, well, he's a good friend or he's a great friend?
That's not so true.
Would you like to be a good basketball player or athlete or a great basketball player, musician? Go on. And yet when you get to the word Christian, would you like to be a good Christian or would you like to be a great Christian? All of a sudden, well, that sounds arrogant. That sounds proud. Or, you know what? I haven't made it to the good yet, so let's not even think about great. And yet, the very last night that the disciples were with Jesus, after 3 years of watching his perfect life, they were arguing about who was greatest among them. And then what I love there in Luke 22 is that he pulls them together, and he doesn't chide them for wanting to be great. In fact, he raises a question. Do you all want to be great? And, you know, you can almost feel in the room, yeah. He says, okay, let me show you a different way to get there. And then he begins to outline for them that greatness is a part of this excellence, this life that God wants for us is actually achievable, But the way you get there is a lot differently than the way the world thinks about it.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. We do get there differently.
Absolutely.
And you've identified 10 practices that great Christians have in common. I want you to go behind the scenes for just a minute and help me understand, how did you come up with this? I mean, you know, you're looking at great Christians. How did you get to these 10 practices that they have in common?
Well, it's been sort of a meandering journey. It wasn't like I, you know, certainly didn't take dictation from heaven or anything like that. And those who are hearing this thinking, gosh, you know, Jim Collins wrote a book called Good to Great for the business community. And I was involved in a major organizational restructure, and we used this book in the church and then at Walkthrough. And what Jim Collins does with all these great Stanford grad students is this amazing research. And they said, what is it that companies that, I mean, really stand out from the crowd, that are great, what do they have in common? And rather than just ideas and anecdotes, it was, these are their practices. And that caught me. One night I couldn't sleep, and I remember laying in bed thinking, you know, if someone is going to do that, to think about what makes companies work well, I just couldn't. And finally, you know how you lay there. Sure. Finally, I just got up and I thought, well, God, what do great Christians have in common? And I started thinking about great, you know, Joseph, Moses, Esther, Peter, Paul. And I just went through the scripture, and then I thought, well, what about Martin Luther or Calvin or, you know, the people who start, you know, the Bill Brights of the world, the Billy Grahams. And I just started thinking, what do they do? Now, grace is level. They love God. This isn't about getting brownie points. This isn't earning God's favor. But there are some people that in God's eyes, there's a level of humility and love and impact that I long for. I think everyone does. And I wonder what they do. And so I started with, well, you know, I bet they pray great prayers. And then all of a sudden, you know, Paul has some pretty great prayers. Moses has some pretty great prayers. Nehemiah has some pretty great prayers. And then I thought, I mean, I bet they dream great dreams. You know, I'm pretty simple. Joseph had a dream. And, you know, and then I looked at, read a lot of biographies. And so I literally, the list probably was 13, 14, 15 different things over a period of time. And then I created a little teaching series on it. And I got feedback from people. And then I started thinking about the men and women that I've met that I thought, boy, they are great Christians. I don't mean famous. I don't mean popular. I mean great. And so between those three things, I began to just pencil in some things and come up with one key verse and then build a strategy for how could ordinary people like us. Because that's what I love about the Bible. It's just filled with ordinary people who became great in God's eyes. How do you do that?
Yeah, and I appreciate that so much. I think as I look at this, I think we can become great, and in our, as Homeward, we talk about family so much. You know, we can become great parents. We can raise great kids. It's part of the mentoring process. I've thought about this as I've looked at some of these points that you have, that you've identified these practices of great Christians, and I've thought, this is what I'd like to throw out at my kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers, the great theologian, of course, the coach, who said, when you stray away from the basics, you've gone a long ways toward defeat. Sometimes we stray away from the basics because, you know, I mean, your first practice that you talk about is to become great. Great people think great thoughts.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
All change begins with your thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, actually, if you, I mean, I kind of like to read in a broad area.
Yeah.
If you look at the people, the great self-help teachers of our day, they have one theme. They want to change how people think.
Right.
And they give them all these practices, and if you can think this way, it'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, there's huge elements of truth to that. As a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. Proverbs 23. Or the Apostle Paul would say, where your mind is set, if it's set on the flesh, it's death. If it's set on the spirit, it's life and peace. What you see is the scripture is replete with the most important decision I believe I make every day is what I allow to go in my mind. And the second most important is what do I do with it while it's in my mind? And if I, you know, if you look at your diet, and I mean, you know, if it's McDonald's 7 days a week, I don't know if you saw the little video that they made of a guy who ate junk food for 30 days. And
He's still sick.
Yeah, he's still sick. Well, you know what? We're eating junk food mentally and spiritually. And a lot of us are sick and thinking something's wrong when what's wrong is our diet.
Yeah.
And so that whole chapter is about, yes, scripture, but nature, great thoughts, great music.
Right.
In other words, think great thoughts about God, about yourself, about the future.
Right.
And as you do that, I will tell you, all change begins with your thinking.
And that is so important for us to convey in our own mind, to convey then with our kids. One, something I underlined out of your book was wrong thinking leads to negative emotion, which leads to unwise behavior, which results in devastating consequences. Yet right thinking leads to positive emotions, which leads to wise behavior, resulting in fruitful consequences. And that just makes so much sense when it comes to thinking great thoughts. Now, you have another one that I thought was very interesting. And I have a friend who oftentimes says, leaders are readers. What you said is people who are great read great books.
Yep. They really do. I mean, even back to Moses, before he's ready to take his people across, the last words God says to him, this book, the law, shall not depart out of your mouth. You know, and he talks about, you know, reading the scroll. The kings were commanded to write out God's word so that they would incorporate it. And so what I found is in the heroes I have, the Howard Hendrickses of the world, or people who've been pastors that have influenced me, or lay people that, I mean, I just think I'd like a marriage like theirs, or I want to raise my kids like theirs. They're all readers. And so I started to think of, what are the books that have broadened my horizons? What are the books that have sharpened my skills? What are the books that have inflamed my heart, real devotional? What are the books that have helped me in areas like parenting? And so I just go through that chapter, and it's not like these are books everyone ought to read. It was more like, here's what I learned, but it's becoming that learner where you say, if I could give a gift to every parent in America, it would be at least three nights a week, turn off the TV, get out a book, and start just reading about things that will encourage and inspire you. And you'll find you'll unconsciously start changing.
I absolutely agree with that. Not always easy, because it's much easier to just turn on the, what do they call it, the boob tube.
Right.
And just sit there and veg. But, you know, we can learn so much. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about actually another one that you say, pursue great people. I want to hear what you mean by that. We'll be right back. Chip Ingram with us today. We're talking about being a great parent, raising great kids, and you know, it starts with us. We've got to make the decision to move from good to great in God's eyes. And these practices that Chip's talking about today are so practical and so helpful.
They certainly are. And as we are, I'm Roger Marsh here back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, listening to a conversation that Dr. Jim Burns had with author and pastor Chip Ingram not too long ago in Atlanta, Georgia at the International Christian Retail Show. You can hear the ambiance there that they are definitely on location. But Chip has written a book called Good to Great in God's Eyes, which we have up on our webpage today at homeward.com. Go to the radio broadcast tab, find Chip's name, click on there. You can learn more about that resource. We'll be right back.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Your four-year-old daughter said that to your face?
My mom raised seven of us, and I don't think we ever were as disrespectful to her as Jenna was to me this morning.
And you've got two teenagers at home, too.
Yeah, and they're not much better.
Mary, I am so sorry.
Well, don't be, Lee. You know why? Because I don't even care anymore.
Maybe you're living with an out-of-control teenager or an unruly toddler. Well, regardless of your situation, I want to challenge you to keep believing in your kids and to hang in there with them. Many kids suffer from a poor self-image, and that may be a source of your frustration with your child. That's why it's important for you to keep on affirming them, keep on praising them, keep on believing in the person they can become. It's been said that the difference between a child making it in life and not making it is just one adult who unconditionally believes in them. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, challenging you to be that adult in the life of your kids.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Chip Ingram with us today. Always a privilege to have him with us. Author of many great books, president CEO of Walk Through the Bible Ministries, speaker on a daily radio program called Living on the Edge. Many of you who listen to this program probably also listen to Living on the Edge. Lives in the Atlanta area with his wife, Teresa, and they have four adult children, and they have six grandchildren. It's always such a privilege and a pleasure to have Chip with us, always so practical and so helpful and also so God-honoring. We're talking about greatness in God's economy in many ways, Chip. And one of the abilities that I thought was so interesting, I circled it, was great people pursue great people in many ways. Talk about that and how important that is.
Well, Proverbs 13:20 says, he who dwells with wise men will be wise, but the companion of a fool will suffer harm. More really is caught than taught. Yeah. And so if you want to be a great parent, ask yourself, who's the greatest parent in your neighborhood or your church? And say, invite them over for a barbecue. Ask them questions. If you want to learn how to pray, who do you know that prays at a level you think? And just pursue great people. And so in this book, just to help people get a picture for, like, who might I pursue, I created what I called my own personal Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. And I tried to think of who are the people that have shaped my life. And it's everything from a junior high coach to my wife, to Howard Hendricks, to a bricklayer. And these people, for different reasons, have had the greatest impact on my life. And then I tried to think through of where do I need to grow. And so I thought, you know something? I listed some areas. And we all need a cheerleader. We all need a mentor. We all need a Barnabas. We all need a Timothy. We all need a Paul, someone that we can look to. And so it's really just a chapter that says, if you want to change, if you want to be great, you know, my old basketball background is, if I was a major college athletic director and I want to get one of the finest young coaches in America, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to Duke, and I'm going to say, who have your assistants been for the last 5 to 10 years?
Sure.
And if you find out that, then you find out, well, that guy happened to be mentored by another guy that won some championships called Bobby Knight. And, you know, regardless of what you may think of people's behavior, great coaching happens by hanging around great coaches. And all I want to say to people and to parents is, just get intentional. Pursue great people. And get your kids rubbing up against great people.
You know, I found that in our own life, where a lot of times we'll bring maybe a missionary, or our kids are so fortunate to have so many great people around them, then it just rubs off on them. They want to be more like them. You know, it's kind of Jesus with skin on it, if you would, for many times. And that's so right. And we can have great people who are also what you might call paper mentors. You know, C.S. Lewis could be a part of your Mount Rushmore. You didn't know him. It wasn't the same season in life. But, you know, we learn from people by reading books. It kind of, some of these kind of blend together.
They really do, because some of the people who have had the most impact on my life, A.W. Tozer, I feel like I know the guy.
Yeah.
I've been reading one of his books for 30 years. I guess I'm really slow. I can't quite get it. But I mean, the knowledge of the holy, I've been pursuing a view of God that he has, because I still don't have it. But boy, I want to keep rubbing up against that.
Right. No, I feel that way. Kathy and I, when we first got married, there was a couple in our church who had 3 kids. They'd been in Christian ministry. And we went, they're doing a great job. Let's just go hang out with them. So we went out to dinner. It was like you said, bring them over for a barbecue. Well, over the process of years now, they've helped us. And if we said they are our mentors, we might say that, but they don't even see that as, just see it as
they're
hanging
just
out with
them.
Us. Right. Sometimes we think it has to be so formalized when it really doesn't. Sometimes that gets in the way.
Well, I would really just put a sort of a amen to that one.
Yeah.
Because when you start asking some of these people, they feel inadequate and I could never do that.
Right.
And do we have to meet so many times a month? Just go pursue them and do it as a secret agent, And you'll just find good stuff rubs off.
And over a period of years, you say, wow, we've spent some good time together. Great Christians pray great prayers. You also say in this that great prayers are births oftentimes in brokenness.
Yeah. This chapter is not about how to pray, okay? This is not like, here's the ACTS acronym and you do adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's not a formulaic thing. What I did is I looked at the people in Scripture and the people I've rubbed up against that pray in ways that I see miraculous, powerful things happen. And I thought, what do they have in common? And there were 4 or 5 things. One was, I realized they're deeply personal. They're not formulaic. They're not rote. They're not ritual. They may use different forms of prayer, but they were birthed out of relationship. It was a passion to know God. And then the second thing here is, when you hear people who profoundly meet with God, 3 times in the Old Testament, this word, a broken spirit, is used. Isaiah 57:15, Psalm 51, I believe Psalm 34. And it says, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Mm. It means every time he sees us with this sense of dependency, or I think of spiritual bankruptcy, and this sense of crying out to God that you hear in Psalms of just, I can't make it, I'm hurting, I'm please help. The most powerful prayers in Scripture I find grow out of people either in those situations or with that sort of, Paul, I'm the chief among sinners. And I think sometimes it just takes a level of honesty that I don't like to go to, because to get there, I got to see stuff in me I don't want to see. So I kind of keep it superficial. But great Christians pray great prayers.
Right.
And they
become great out of their brokenness so many times. Over and over and over again, you hear this. Great Christians enjoy great moments. I love this one.
This one was fun. When I taught this one live, it was actually because we all have kind of our cultural norms.
Right.
What the Bible actually says about having fun is so radical that a lot of people with their sort of cultural norms are like, that can't be legal. I mean, but what's neat is, I think we play down the fun, the joy. I mean, I go through these different festivals, and I mean, I started looking at the Jewish calendar, and I'm thinking, I want to work for this guy.
Yeah, they've got some great vacation time.
7 days off here, 10 days off here, feasting for 5 days, and then I did some background work. There's dancing, there's a party.
Yeah.
Please don't get me in trouble here. Obviously, the Bible is clear in moderation, but they weren't drinking grape juice when they're having a lot of these parties, you know? And I mean, it's just kind of like this, and I begin to see is that we need to, yes, follow Christ, take up your cross, deny yourself and follow him. The commitment level of what it means to be a Christ follower has been dumbed down. But what we've also dumbed down is the absolute celebration and freedom that we have. And so this is a chapter for many of us workaholics, people from legalistic backgrounds that needs to know God says, I want to refresh you. I want to give you rest. I want to give you joy emotionally, spiritually, physically. And so it's just a lot of fun. I cannot tell you how many times I did this to a group of business people, and the people just walked out going, now that's really in the Bible, isn't it? I said, yeah. One guy said, I called in work. I'm the president. I just canceled my day. I'm going to go home and take my wife out to breakfast. What? You know what? I'm accomplishing a lot. I'm not enjoying life at all. And he said, you know what? I don't think I'll probably get too out of balance on this one. And it's just an exciting thing to realize, hey, you know, there's some time to be serious and there's some time to have fun.
No, that is great. Listen, we've run out of time. Speaking of time, great conversation, Dave. Chip Ingram, thank you so much for being with us.
My privilege.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with pastor and author Chip Ingram here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about being a great parent and raising great kids, and it's more than just something that we say anecdotally. Wouldn't it be great if we could all, you know, be great parents and raise great kids? There are ways that you can measure the effectiveness of your parenting, and Chip has written a book called Good to Great in God's Eyes. We have it up on our website today at homeward.com. If you go to the radio broadcast section and find Chip's name, you can click over to his website. You can learn more about his resources, and we highly recommend them. I know Jim recommends just about every book Chip has written, and you'll find those at homeward.com.
Well, it is possible to be a great parent who raises great kids, so don't sell yourself short. You know, make it your goal to be the kind of parent who is committed to helping your kids discover their own greatness in God's economy, becoming men and women of character and integrity. We probably don't put enough emphasis on that. You know, in the closing moments of our time together today, I want to talk about one final principle of great Christians, and I think this one is a key for us as parents to pass along to our children, but we've got to do it first. Great Christians develop great habits. You know, Ben Franklin once said that if you take all of your good habits and you subtract all of your bad habits, well, the result is your contribution to society. And you know what? I believe good old Ben Franklin was true on this one. Many times, good kids wind up making bad or poor choices simply because they developed unhealthy habits during their growing up years. Well, here are a few tips to help you help your kids learn how to cultivate good habits instead. For openers, put God first. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Then, and I love this one, take out the trash. In other words, get rid of any negative or old bad habits. Not an easy thing to do, but that's what we've got to focus on. And after that, commit yourself to accept that your own spiritual growth is your responsibility. Chip Ingram calls this process doing your own dishes, and I really like that. And also make it a habit to write down your goals and your expectations. A lot of kids don't do that. And, well, it's the phrase, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So encourage your kids to write down their goals. Encourage your kids to write down expectations. You do the same thing. And then hold each other accountable in a positive direction way. Also, Chip Ingram says, do it now. Don't wait for just the right time to start making these changes. And finally, remember to take a break every now and then and recharge your spiritual and your physical and your emotional batteries. Otherwise, you're going to leave yourself wide open for a relapse into those old bad habits. Great stuff.
Mm-hmm. Got to recharge those batteries. Got to make sure that we practice the art of self-care. And one of the ways that you can do so is making sure that you're spending time in God's Word each and every day. One of the resources that we have available for you at homeward.com that will help you do just that is our daily online devotional. There are thousands of people who get this every day. That means millions of these go out every year. And it's a Bible verse. It's a nugget of encouragement from God's Word written by Dr. Jim Burns and also Doug Fields, Jim Liebeld, our web content editor, and more. They're very, very easy to use. I mean, this is the type of thing that if you only have a minute or two every day, the Homeward Daily Devotional is going to help you out. Now, the devotionals are available absolutely free, and we'll send them to you every day if you go to homeward.com and sign up. So let's get that subscription going right away, shall we? Just go to homeward.com today and start your subscription to the Homeward Online Evotional. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.